Okay, so welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi, where in Ketubot, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, in the middle of a discussion about Maaseh Shabbat. And the reason that we got into this discussion is because if we maintain that Shechita B'Shabbat, even though it brings with it a Chiyuv Mitah, is nonetheless a permissible Shechita and you can eat it, then in that case, Rabbi Shimon would have to maintain that that the shechita is, since it's permissible, therefore you would be chayiv for toveach, and therefore the Rabbanan here, who we're saying is Rabbi Shimon, would have to say that you are chayav, because after all the other guy did the shechita and you did the stealing of the item, and so therefore the tzvicha is accredited to you because you stole it, the animal, and in the meantime the other fellow is chayav for chilul Shabbat. However, if shechita b'Shabbat is not fit and not edible, and that's what we are saying Rabbi Shimon believes, because he adopts the opinion Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar, that if you do malacha b'Shabbat, the byproduct is asur because of the pasuk in Shmot Lamed Aleph. Therefore, he will say, the Chachamim, that's Rabbi Shimon, will say, you're patur if you shechted b'Shabbat, not because of kam lebedu abimine, but because you're bechlan al chayav for tzvicha. Now, in the middle of that, we have the following. Pligi bar Rav Achav Ravina. Charamar maaseh Shabbat do, right? Charamar de Rabbanan. So everybody seems to agree that the byproducts of Melacha and Shabbat, in some sense, are asurim, maybe only b'mezid, maybe only for you, not for others. So one of them says it's doraita, one says derabanan. Man demar doraita karamran. The one who says doraita is based on the pasuk, u'shmartam unto Shabbat ki kodesh ilachem. The byproducts of Shabbat, this is the drasha, are kodesh, and are compared to hektesh. Just like hektesh is asur, so maaseh Shabbat. Man demar derabanan, the one who says the Rabbanan will interpret the pasuk in the opposite way. Amakra kodeshi. He kodesh vein maaseh kodesh. The day is holy, but not the byproducts, and not the results of doing action on Shabbat. Now, the man damar du Rabbanan, and here the word Rabbanan is used equivocally, according to the one who says the Rabbanan, one of those two Amorayim, ma tamayi du Rabbanan de patri. Then why would the rabbis who disagreed with Rabbi Meir, why would they say if you did tficha Shabbat, you're patur? Because after all, mid oraita, this shechita is valid, and you can and you're allowed to eat from it. Rabbanan, it's a knas, you can't eat from it. So kikabat Rabbanan ashara. He said you're right. And when did Rabbanan say that you're patur? You're patur if you shechted, let's say for avodah zarah or shohan iskal, where the shechita we agree 100% is inedible. But they would say, indeed, if it was on Shabbat, then they would not go as far as saying patur. They'd say chayav, because, of course, the case we've constructed is that you stole the item, and then you got somebody else to do the shechita for you. The shechita, vis-a-vis the financial liability, is credited to you. And, of course, the action of chilul Shabbat is credited to the other fellow. Now, toveach avodat kochavim, now we have a side question. If you do the tzvicha for avodah zarah, kevin shachab leporta yitzolei. As Gemara Chulin says, the minute that you start shechting the animal for avodah zarah, it's already asur to you. It's already become avodah zarah. And now, idach, when you shecht the rest, katavach lav demai katavach. You're not shechting the other fellow's item the one who you stole it from. You're shechting something that's asur. So why would it be called tficha at all? In other words, if you're tobeach avodah zarah, it's not a question of being patur because of kam lebedu amine. It's a question of being patur because, after all, the item that you're shechting now is not the other fellow's. So I'm a rabbi, but Omer b'gmaris v'chalu avdah. The fellow says, something kind of strange, says, I'm doing my worship at the end of the slaughtering. So that means that in that case, when you stipulate differently, the slaughtering turns the item into avodah zarah, and therefore asur to you at the very end, which is at the point at which tzvicha becomes asur. Shohan iskal also, lav divehu katavach, when you take a shohan iskal, an animal that is an animal that has attacked and it has to be stoned, it's asur bahana'a. When you steal it from somebody and then you're going to shecht it, you haven't stolen it from anybody because the guy can't use it at all. It's something that's asur bahana'a. Why would you be chayav for tzvicha at all? So I'm a rabbi, hachamei askinan, so rabbi constructs a kind of strange scenario. Venchem asro la shomer. I gave my animal, who was a perfectly good animal, to a shomer. V'zik v'et ha-shomer, while the shomer owned it, he went out and did damages. Damages enough that would get him stoned. I killed a person. V'nigmar dina b'vet shomer. And by the way, while he was still under the purview of the shomer, he was judged, and the court case went through, and the animal was sentenced to be stoned. U'ganavo ganav b'vet ha-shomer. And after that point, somebody stole it from the shomer. Now, nonetheless, why am I chayav to pay? Why is the ganav chayav to pay the original owner? That we would say, oh, but if it was something that you chayav mitah for, then indeed you're patur because of kamlay. So the answer is Meir, who says you chayav, says Meir savolak Rabbi Yaakov, savolak Rabbi Shimon. He holds like two different pieces in this puzzle. First of all, savolak Rabbi Yaakov, the Amar Akish and Yomar Dino Hazirot Shemar the Baalav Muzar Rabbi Yaakov. And the Chachamim have the machloket about the kama. What happens if you, as a shomer, take an animal, and the animal does damages, and afterwards it becomes sentenced to die, and then you return it to the owner? Have you returned it? Or do you now owe the owner the payment because it was under your watch that it did damage? Rabbi Yaakov says that's called returning it, which means it's still, to some extent, in the ownership of the original owner. Rabbi Shimon says that in direct financial liability is also called financial liability. And therefore, to explain, since the ganav, who stole this from the shomer, made it impossible for the shomer to return it and thus become exempt from payment, therefore, he is chayav to the shomer for the tzvicha. And it's only because there was a greater liability there, and that, by the way, and that's what Meir said, what Meir says, you're chayav to pay for the tzvicha. Now, all of this was to try to reconcile and explain the problem of Reb Meir and why Reb Meir says you're chayav both on for Shabbat and for Tvicha. As we said, I'm talking about a case where you had somebody else do the Shechita, and therefore, because Reb Meir certainly would say that if you do one act that carries with the Chiyuv Mita and financial liability, you're exempt, which is why he doesn't put Bito into the Mishnah, but only goes as far as to do Achoto, Chiyuv Karet. Rabbi rolls it all the way back and says, Le'olam b'toveach al-yidei atzmo. Really, it's a normal case where you yourself did the Shechita. And Rameh really would agree, theoretically, that if you did the Shechita on Shabbat, you would not be chayav for the financial liability because you're patur, because the Komlev Rabinei. Rameh, lo k'mashalim mitu mashalim le'idei. And indeed, Rameh only goes so far as to say that makot and mamon, you get both, but not mita and mamon. Shani hani, but in the case of the knas that you have to pay, the chidush shechit shetar beknas of agav the mikto mishalem arba v'chamisha is a knas, and we're going to prove it in a very interesting way. Arba v'chamisha is a knas. The fact that you have to pay four or five times the value of what you stole, if you killed it or sold it, that is a knas. And because the Torah is mechadish the knas, saying even if you get killed, you still have to pay. Meaning even if you did the tzvicha on Shabbat, and it's Fichal of Orazar, you're going to get killed for it. Nonetheless, you still have to pay. Meaning that Rabba holds that Rameh normally would say, mate ve'eno mishalem, which is why he cannot include Bito in the Mishnah, because Bito is a chiyuv mita, you wouldn't pay the lesser financial damage. However, in the case where Rameh explicitly says you do mate u'mishalem, that's talking about mishalem knas, the special knas of Arba u'chamisha. And now we see support for this. So as the Rabba Latame, Rabba's being consistent. Let's say you'd stolen a gdi on Thursday, and you shechted it on Shabbat, chayav. Why you chayav? Because the gneva, you already chayav on Thursday. What did you change on Shabbat? The knas. Now you chayav, the extra three or four payment, which is the knas for tvicha. That does not get trumped by Shabbat. But ganav etavach b'Shabbat, let's say you did the whole kit and kaboodle on Shabbat, then patur. Why? Shim ein geva, ein tficha ve'in mechira. That after all, the tficha mechira, which is the mechayev, still needs, it cannot happen without the geneva. And since the geneva is simple mamon, and that happened on Shabbat, the chiyuv mita of shechita b'Shabbat trumps it, and along with it, the tficha mechira. So in other words, Rabba says, and Rabba's following Rabbi Meir's lead here, Rabba says, normally, eino meitu mishalem, and therefore, if you stole something in shechted on Shabbat, you're patur for the financial liability. But the knas alone is stands by itself, and therefore if you stole it before Shabbat, and then two, the Shechita on Shabbat, then you're Chayav. V'yama Rabba, and Rabba has a parallel case. Machteret is when you're on the way in or out really, of somebody's house that you plan to steal from, and as we see in Sanhedrin in the 8th parak, Bab Machteret can be killed by the owner of the home, and the owner of the home has no liability for that. So let's say that you stole something and you shechted it in the Machteret. Chayav. Why? Yisumachteret. Yisumachteret is a unique phrase. What it means is that you are really liable for death. He could kill you, and that would be justified. So therefore, as an intruder, as a dangerous intruder, a threatening intruder. So now, since you stole it beforehand, then you pulled it into the Machteret and killed it there, therefore you're chayav, because the tvicha happens, which is the knas, happens uniquely, and not the gneva, happened in the Machteret. Ganav tavach Machteret, but if you stole it and shechted it right there in the Machteret, patur. Same thing. So now, why did Rabbah need to read both of these rules, both Machteret and Shabbat? Diashvin and Shabbat, if he only said Shabbat, I would know Shabbat's very serious because Shabbat is something that happens forever, that Israel lasts forever. Machteret is Yisur Shahu, but Machteret is something that's very transitory. Right now, you're in the Machteret, you're liable for Mitah. 5 steps out of the Machteret, you're not liable for Mitah. So I would think that Perhan Malo, I would think that perhaps in that case, we don't say kol b'rabimine, because you're in the Machteret, 5 seconds later you got out. So I think just the fact that you shechted while in the Machteret doesn't exempt you. Machteret has a chumra, which is, you don't need any warning. The fact that you're breaking in, that's the hatra'ah. The fellow can kill you without any warning, and he's justified. On Shabbat, to buy hatra'ah, but Shabbat, like regular capital punishment, you need a hatra'ah. Therefore, I would think that we don't say kamlei. That's why Rabbi needed both. Now, our Papa has a third version. I'm our Papa. I tapara gnuvalo utvacha b'Shabbat chayav. Same thing. If you stole a cow and shechted on Shabbat, you chayav. Find chayav b'gnuvah kodem shavodim shel Shabbat. And everybody seems to be adopting this version of Rabbi Meir. I tapara shulalo utvacha b'Shabbat. But let's say you borrowed a cow and then you shechted it on Shabbat, of course, without the permission of the owner. Patur. Why are you patur? Because, well, we'll see. So I'm a layer of Acha Bered Rava Levash. So yes, Rav Papa Para Atal Ashmir. What is Rav Papa adding? Rava, who is 2 generations before Rav Papa, or 1 generation, already made this statement about Gedi on Shabbat and about Machteret. What is Rav Papa adding by changing it from a Gedi to a Para? Is that the big deal? That's what he's adding? He's not coming to add the para, he's coming to add the circumstance of a borrowed animal. I might have thought to say, after our papa himself said, the minute that you take the animal into your property, you're already obligated to take care of feeding it, and if you don't feed a property and it dies, you're liable. I might think that you're chayv ba'onsin, anything that happens to it, from the minute you borrow it, even if you're the one who caused the thing that happened to it. So therefore, Papa is saying, no, that's not the case. If you shecht it on Shabbat, we don't kick it back to the moment that you borrowed it and say, that really kicks back to Thursday when you borrowed it, and therefore you're chayav for Shabbat and for the financial liability. No, it's only at the moment of shechita that you become chayav. That happened on Shabbat. That's what Papa is teaching. Now keep that in mind as we look at the next statement of Rava. I'm a Rava. Hiniach lanavian parashi ula. Let's say father died and had a borrowed cow that he had on his property. And let's say the sons knew about it. Mishtamshim ba'koyimen she'elata. They can continue to use it for the duration of the loan. The cow was borrowed for a year. Father died halfway through. They can use it for the next 6 months. Meita in chayavim ba'onsa. If it dies, though, they're not responsible for anything because they're not the borrowers. Now, second case. Kisvun shalavim hi. Let's say they got this cow they didn't know was borrowed. Let's say they thought it belonged to father. Utfachua vachlua, and they shechted and they ate it. And then they found that it belonged to somebody else that father had borrowed it from. Mishal means the name basar bezol. They have to pay, but they pay a lesser amount. So, their father left them some land, then chayavim l'shalem. Then they have to pay the normal amount for this tvicha. Now, let's take a look at this. Is that last statement about the land, about the first clause, where they can borrow it as long as necessary when they knew that it was borrowed, or is it talking about a case where they thought it was father's? Some people learn this thing about the land and full payment on the reisha, some on the seifa. So if somebody, anybody who will say it applies to the reisha, will certainly, where they borrowed it, all right, and they used the cow, and then something happened to it, and they'll say that in even in that case, where they knew it was borrowed, and something happened to it, even though they went to borrow, something it slipped, it fell, it wasn't taken properly care of, and the father left the land, they'd have to pay. Certainly they'll say in the sefer where they actively shechted it, they'll have to pay. And in that case, you plead Rav Papa. That means that they would disagree with Rav Papa, because Rav Papa says that the chiyuv only kicks in at the moment of action, not going back to the original moment. But if somebody will learn this responsibility, this liability that they have land of al reisha lo only on the seifa, but not on the reisha, and say they will not apply to a case where they knew it was a borrowed animal, behind Rav Papa, then it will be exactly like Rav Papa, because Rav Papa says that the tashlumin don't kick in from the minute you borrowed it, but from the minute of the onsin, right? And by the time that the onsin happened, the shoel's not around, he's dead. So then it would be not consistent with Papa. Now going back to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, if you call Rabbi Yochanan along with Ula, reconcile the two Mishnayot that we've been dealing with for the last few podcasts. By Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mishnah in Makot is talking about a case where he gave Hatra'ah. Our Mishnah is a case where he didn't give Hatra'ah. Rish Lakish said, I don't care about that. No Hatra'ah either way. And our Mishnah is simply Rabbi Yochanan who says that you get both Makot and you have to pay. Now, he's the Rabbi Yochanan Markar Shlokish, and he's the Rabbi Yochanan didn't agree with Shlokish, the Kamokim Lakarbanan, because he wants our Mishnah not to be Rab Meir, he wants it to be Rabbanan. Although keep in mind that the opening line of the Mishnah is Rab Meir, because it's not wrote. Nonetheless, he wants it to be more of a consensus. And Shlokish might tell Malakar Markar Rabbi Yochanan, why doesn't Shlokish agree with Rabbi Yochanan? Why doesn't he say our Mishnah is simply a case where there's no Hatra'ah, since there's no Makot, therefore there's Mamon? Amalacha came into Ilo Atribe Patur, Kilo Atribe Nami Patur. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokish should answer as follows. Since if they had given him Hatra'ah, he would be exempt from the payment because he get Makot. Therefore, Kilo Atribe, even if they don't give him Hatra'ah, which means he doesn't get Makot, nonetheless Patur, he's still exempt. Which means Rabbi Shlokish seems to read the rule that if you do something which theoretically could carry with it a greater punishment, you're automatically exempt from the lesser punishment, even if you're not going to get the greater punishment because of a technicality. The Azdu and Tamayu and Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish are consistent. Now, keep this in mind. We're going to have to shift this a little bit. Chiyatu Avdim Yamar, Chayav Mitot Shogin V'chayav Malkiyot Shogin. People will do things that carry capital or corporal punishment with them, but they did it with Shogin, meaning that there was no Hatra'ah. That's all it means. V'davar Acher, and along with it, there's a financial obligation. Yochanan Chayav Rish Lakish Shemar Patur. Rabbi Yochanan says, you still have to pay because in practice you're not getting the greater punishment. Rish Lakish says, you're patur. He says, very simple, he didn't get Hatra'ah. So, Shlokish Amar Patur, why? Came indeed, Lo'atrube Patur, Lo'atrube Nami Patur. Since had they given you Hatra'ah, you're Patur, therefore you're Patur, even though they didn't give you Hatra'ah, because the class of the action you did is a class that exempts financial liability. Now, Eitra, Shlokish Rabbi Yochanan. So, Shlokish, according to this, challenges Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo'yasona Noshianesh. Remember the Pasuk about the fellow who knocks into the woman? And we say, if there is no ason, meaning the woman doesn't die, then the man has to pay. My ason mamash, aren't we talking about that the woman died? That's the ason. And we're talking about a case where they didn't give hatra'ah, right? So we say, no, din ason. In other words, what Rish Lakish is saying is, doesn't this mean that as long as the woman didn't die, meaning that even if she did die under any circumstances, with or without Hatra'ah, the guy would still be exempt? So no, dinason. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what it means is dinason, meaning that if the man is not liable for death because he killed this woman, then he'll pay. So ikadami, we have the same pasuk used possibly as the opposite argument. Eitra Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So the same thing, just inverted. Now, this whole idea that anybody would suggest that if you do something that carries with a chiyuv mitah, just because Beit Din doesn't carry out the mitah, that you're chayav for the financial liability that comes along with it, is kind of hard to accept. There's nobody who says such a thing. Look at the pasuk on the page. At the end of Vayikra, it says that somebody who hurts a person, somebody who hurts an animal, has to pay. Now, if you hurt an animal, it doesn't matter if you did it intentionally or not. You hurt somebody's property, it doesn't matter. You have to pay the same way. So we don't distinguish between intent and inadvertent. It doesn't matter if you're on your way down or on your way up, meaning that how much of a how much of negligence was involved. It doesn't exempt you. It obligates you whether you intended or not. After all, when you hurt somebody's property, automatically there's a financial liability. But when you kill a person, automatically there's a financial exemption because it carries with it a greater punishment. And now, just as we don't distinguish between in hurting a property, between intent and a lack of intent, similarly, we don't distinguish it and we say you're always chayav. Similarly, we won't distinguish in hurting a person between intent or lack of intent in order to exempt you because of the chiyuv mita. In other words, Rava is saying there's nobody who suggests that if you do something that carries with it a chiyuv mita, you will be exempt from the, you'll have to pay the financial payment if in practice they can't carry out the mita. Right? Ela kiyata Ravina Mar. This is the proper tradition. Not like Rav Dimi said, but like Ravina brought from Eretz Yisrael. Remember, on the previous Amud, we had Rav Dimi reporting from Eretz Yisrael, the Machlok, Rosh Lakish, Rabbi Yochan, about both Mita and Makot. Ravina came with a better tradition. Chayavei Mita Chongin, Koliyamalo Pligi de Pturim. Chayavei Mita, doesn't matter. Everybody agrees that you're exempt from the lesser obligation, even if you're not going to get Mita. Ki Pligi, when do they disagree? But Chayavei Malkot Chongin Vedavar Acher. When you do something, it carries with it Malkot, but you're not going to get Makot, and there's money also. Yochan Mar Chayav, why? Because look at that pasuk that we just used, Make Adam, Make Beima. That's talking about Chayiv Mita, killing a person. Chayav and Malkot, or Itkush. There's no place in which Chayiv Malkot was compared to hurting an animal where we don't care whether you do it intentionally or not. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rosh Lakish Shamar, Patur, why? The Torah went out of its way to stress that that liability for corporal punishment is the same as capital punishment. It's similar. Now, where did the Torah do that? So Abaya suggests one thing. Atiyah Rasha Rasha. In the case of a murder, he's called a Rasha. In the case of somebody getting makot, he's called a Rasha. Ravam, and in the case of the murderer, then the Pasuk Bamid Balamah says, Asher Rasha Lamut. Ravam, Atiyah Makeh Makeh. Now, Amar Le Papa the Rava, Hey Makeh, which Makeh are you referring to in which makot and mita are compared? That's talking not about makot, but not mita. Comparing hurting an animal and killing a person, that's talking about mita. It's from the next one, in the next pasuk, nefesh b'mayin shalmena, nefesh tachad nefesh. That's if you hurt an animal, you have to pay. If you hurt another person, you got to pay. Right? Now, but that's not the word makeh. We just mean the verb or the notion of hurting. In other words, when you hurt an animal, you have to pay. And when you hurt another human being, that's talking about hurting, then you have to pay. And really now, that's talking about hurting. That's somebody who pays money. That's not somebody who gets makot. The answer is, since we don't need this pasuk to tell us about a case where you do pay, where it's shavapruta, so apply it to a case where there is less than a shavapruta, in which you hit somebody but cause really negligible damage, in which case you do get makot, and you see that those makot are compared to mamon, just like mitas, those makot are compared to mita, and therefore, in such a case, just like in Mita, we don't distinguish between whether you actually get it or not. Same thing with Makot, this Rosh Lakish. So at the end of the day, if that's the case, this is a guy who doesn't have to pay anything. So you're not saying that Makot, you get Makot, and even though you don't really get the Makot, it still trumps the financial obligation. There is no financial obligation because you cause no damage. So let's talk about a case that while you were hitting this other person, you also cause damage to his fancy clothes or something, and therefore, even though in practice you would not get makot for the physical damage to the guy because that damage is less than shavar pruta, you're exempt for hurting, for damaging his clothes, because we don't distinguish between, according to Rosh Lakish, between chayvim malkut shonim, meaning without hatra'ah, meaning when we can't give makot, and chayvim malkut mezidin, when we do give hatra'ah, and you get it in both cases, you're exempt. And therefore, Rosh Lakish reads that our mishnah must be Rav Meir, and that hatra'ah really does not play a role here, and it must be Rav Meir who says, lokeh u'mashalei. Everybody should have a wonderful day. We'll pick it up from here in the next podcast.